The truth is, Israel is not a democracy. It's not a democracy. I'm not saying this to be provocative. The reason I'm saying this, and I definitely don't think it has a right to exist the way it currently is existing. And when I referenced the inception of the Israeli state, just bear with me, thank you. When I referenced the inception of the Israeli state, as the New York Times reported in the 30s and 40s, it was founded through terrorism, through terrorist militias. These are facts that are in the past, perhaps, and I'm not trying to be provocative, but I'm trying to be fair. You know, the reason I say this is Israel is an ethnocracy.
What was the air gun fighting? Look, British colonialism.
Fair enough. And colonialism is alive and well today, and Israel has inherited that responsibility, if you will. But Roger, let's just be, you know, when we say Israel is a democracy, when we ignore the way in which the media continues to kind of present Israel as civilized and democratic, when in reality, sure, it has a veneer of democracy, but it's a settler colonial state in which one ethno-national group dominates over another, in which one group of people have a right to return and another don't. Now, all I want to say on the note of how we get out of this, because I think it's important to look forward. This panel is really about, is lasting peace possible? And I think, again, history teaches us that the only way it's possible is if we're honest with ourselves, as people from the media perspective, and with the audience about the reality on the ground. And I think for those of us paying attention, we live in a very different era than 10, 20 years ago when there were other sort of flashpoints or conflicts or acute crises in the region. Now, information is decentralized, democratized. And again, I'm very, very humbled and honored to be here, but I must say, is it helping us get to peace when organizations like the BBC and the New York Times, two of which I have worked for and have respect for example, the leaked memo in April that says, you know, where the New York Times is telling reporters not to say refugee camp or call it a former UN school or to avoid saying occupation or Palestine. What is the purpose of that, and how does avoiding occupation, which is the root cause of the issue, gonna get us closer to peace? So the last thing I just want to say is, it's mind-boggling to me, and I'm not pointing fingers here, but just in general, how the discourse is completely illogical, which is October 7th, nothing can, you know, before October 7th, can justify what Hamas did, the heinous crimes as you described them. But somehow the media and politicians are reminding us and telling us over and over that October 7th can in fact justify October 8th, October 9th, October 10th, and where we are today.
Sure. I mean, Arthur Bernell is in your descent, and if you can't see him, has wonderful slippers in Palestinian colors on his feet.
Yeah. These days, I have to carry a Palestine with me everywhere. I just want to build briefly on what you said, and I appreciate your framing. I mean, let's just be honest and address the elephant in the room. The fact is, without meaningful pressure from the U.S. on Israel, it's practically impossible to imagine or have a conversation about ceasefire, let alone peace. I say this because if we want peace, we have to learn the lessons of history, whether it's Iraq, Vietnam, or any other conflict where dehumanization, one of the stages of genocide, for example, and media complicity, I should say, in dehumanization, manufacturing consent for whether a genocide or ethnic cleansing needs to be addressed. So long as Israel is able to annex, occupy, murder, starve with impunity, which is a fact, and violate not just legal norms, but moral norms, day after day, since October 7th. Mm-hmm. A horrific event happened on October 7th, but every day horrific events have happened since, for a year. So, you know, as a student of history, Stephen, history teaches us, as I'm sure you know, that without accountability, peace is not possible. And I worry that today, you know, I started my career just a few years after 2003 during the Iraq invasion. I started my career at the New York Times. And part of my job was to write headlines from the newspaper to the digital. And I worry that we're in the same juncture. that the U.S. administration is repeating the same mistakes of 2003 and that the media is repeating the same mistakes. You know, we can't underline this enough. We really stand on the brink of disaster now. A serious attack by Iran on, by Israel on Iran's oil, you know, facilities or nuclear facilities. I mean, that would be catastrophic. And so this is a moment for de-escalation, but it's also a moment for honesty. We really need to focus, as I think you alluded to, on the root cause of October 7th, of the genocide, of everything I've mentioned, which is the occupation of Palestine and the dehumanization and collective punishment of those people. And if I may just make a couple quick points to frame the conversation. I mean, look at the data in the U.S. You know, I know that you said, maybe rightfully, that today this panel is not really about democracy, but in a democracy like the U.S., which I think I can kindly say is debilitated at best in this moment, 83% of Democrats supported ceasefire. Almost 80% of Democrats want weapons to stop to Israel. They want the U.S. to stop sending weapons. And yet, here we are. The former CIA director, Leon Panetta, described Israel's attacks on Lebanon with pagers and devices as an act of mass terror. So we're fighting terrorism with terrorism? Never mind the origins of the Israeli state and how it was established. Now, I just want to say, there have been reports yesterday that Iran has warned the U.S. privately that any attack on their refineries would mean retaliation against Saudi Arabia, Azerbaijan, Kuwait, the UAE, and Bahrain. I mean, those are the states. So I'll end by saying, so long as Israel and the U.S. and the U.S.'s allies, including Arab states, continue to ignore Palestinian human rights and perpetuate dehumanization, as history teaches us repeatedly and relentlessly, oppressed people, robbed of their basic human rights and dignity, will always resist. Whether that resistance comes through the pen or the sword, they will always resist. Whether we think they have a right to resist or not, which they do, they will always resist. So until we recognize that Palestinians deserve human rights, legal rights, there can be no peace. Not because I say so, because history teaches us this. So I hope in part of this conversation, we can actually address the elephant in the room, which is the obscene impunity that Israel enjoys, because it makes Israelis less safe, as well as all of us.
Thank you.
The truth is, Israel is not a